The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be returned, restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time we celebrate a baptism in this congregation, we light a candle off that Paschal candle and we give it to the newly baptized, or whoever's standing close to them that's old enough to hold a lit candle. And we say, "Let your light so shine before others that they may give glory to your Father, they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." That is our initial baptismal mission calling. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." And actually, in the Greek, it's a plural, "you." So if we were down south, we'd say "y'all," or "all y'all are the light of the world." See, this connection between the baptismal candle, a symbol of the light of God, the light of Christ that is put into us, is the light of Christ given to us, shared with us, empowering us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be little Christs to one another in the world. Do you feel like you are the light of the world? See, sometimes that's the problem. And I've been thinking about that because, you know, most days I figure if I can light up a little corner, I'm happy. But I think it's more like this. You have to remember the plural nature of the calling. It's not just your single baptismal candle that you light on the day of baptism and then you put in a safe box full of mementos for the rest of your life. But it's more like Christmas Eve. I think a lot of you have been here for Christmas Eve, but some of you travel and some of you are new. But one of the things we do at the Christmas Eve candlelight service here is we light our candles and we sing Silent Night. And I think most of the churches I grew up in, you lit your candle and you sang Silent Night. But you just held your candle to yourself. You had a pretty candle to look into. You had nice things to think about, and a beautiful church and all of that. But one of the things that we do in this congregation is we take a moment and we lift up our candles. And we turn and we face each other. And the whole dynamic of the room changes. Do you remember that? Some of you are here. The whole room changes. We don't need the lights up there because we can see just fine when we are all holding up our lights and sharing the light with each other. 100 candles down here is only meaningful to each of us in our own place. 100 candles up here is a changed dynamic. It's a whole change of room. It's a whole change of view. Now think about the light of Christ within us, not just those physical candles, but the light of Christ in us. How do we light up each other? How is the world lit by the light of Christ in each one of us? I had a phone conversation the other night with an elderly relative. And she said, I just give up. It's just too hard. The news, it's always so bad. And of course, the preacher in me said, well, just light up the little corner where you're at. And she said, oh, that's right. I still serve my food pantry. I still help my neighbors. We help each other. We keep doing the right things. And we still know that God is in the midst of all of us. I had a new insight into this whole light piece this week. One of our colleagues that I go to tech study with, Keith Kellinger, he's like our Greek expert. We go to him for Greek things. And one of the things that's always bothered us for years and years and years is some of the theology we learn through our children's songs. You know, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Love that song. But I've always thought about that one verse that goes, hide it under a bushel. No, right? I'm gonna let it shine. Well, if you put a bushel basket over a candle, what's gonna happen? Yeah, it's gonna start on fire. And again, a lot of fire for a little while, but then no fire at all. Here's what Keith told us. It's not a bushel basket. It's a bowl. And in those days, the bowls were ceramic.
Glass.
And so here's a little light of Christ. And I'm going to mold. And how can you guess what's going to happen? You put a bowl over a light, a candle, and it's not that the light is going to get hidden, but it's going to have the oxygen sucked out of it. Think about that as an image for church. Have you ever had the oxygen sucked out of your sense of purpose, your sense of mission, your sense of I need and want to love to serve Jesus? It usually happens when we try to do things on our own. Usually happens when we try to contain the light, save the light. You know, I thought I was protecting the light with that bowl. I sucked the life out of it. Here's the deal with being church. We not only need to lift up our lights, we need to help each other keep our lights from going out. What do you need to keep your light burning? A friend of mine posted on Facebook that she used to get violently ill the week after annual meetings. These things are stressful for pastors across the world, right? And so a couple years ago, she started preemptively taking a week of vacation or retreat the week after the annual meeting. She said, you know what? That kept me from getting sick. My GP, my health practitioner, agrees. How do we not only help each other keep our lights lit, but how do we help each other lift them up and hold them up together? Look at the people closest to you. What do you think they need to keep their candles lit? To keep their passion for the gospel? We need each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to proclaim the gospel. Our second reading from 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to preface this again. If you haven't read 1 Corinthians for a while, read it again. It's about a church that needed to be built up again. Paul said, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, etc., etc., so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Not on human wisdom, but the power of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God loves the world, all of it. God wants good for the world, all of it and all of its creation. Our first reading the prophet, had some sharp words about self-serving or self-interest serving, because that's never been the way of God. And when we try to reconcile our self-serving with God's way, we get tripped up. The prophet was talking about people who fasted but had no interest in other people. They fasted to be holy, and the prophet called them out and said, "Is not this the fast I choose?" Hold on to your seats. Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. I love it when prophets say, then. This sounds very much like Jesus' inaugural address, remember? To let the oppressed go free, to give sight to the blind, to lift up the brokenhearted. The lame will dance. These are the types of things that God is interested in. God is interested in setting free. Where do you need to be set free? What do you need to be set free from? Give it to God. Risk sharing that with another person. Share that burden with another person and say, "Will you pray with me?" Prayer changes things. Or ask someone, "What burdens do you carry that maybe I could help share? What burdens do you carry that you and I can give to God together?" Let's not be solo candles, risking the life being sucked out of us or the wind blowing us out. Let's be church together, lifting each other up for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the world. At the end of the service today, we're going to install our new council members, and we're going to affirm our continuing council members. We're going to remind ourselves that church is all of us together. That church is more than agreeing and disagreeing. That church is people called by the light of Christ to be the light of Christ for the sake of the church, the community, and the world together. And we do so because we're loved by God. That we have been given grace and mercy that we don't deserve. Because God loves us. May the grace and the peace, the passion and compassion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you.